I think we're in a good spot. I really do. I think we got a lot of improvement to do. But for the first six games, I think we're in a good spot. And we have to get our minds and our bodies and everything right to go on to these next six games, starting with the first one.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is the man called Lucy. That's the head coach of the Chicago Bears, Matt Eberflus. And I find that fascinating, that comment, David. I get it. It's six games in and they have their bye. So now apparently we're looking at six game increments. Normally in the NFL, traditionally anyway, when you had 16
quarters.
Games,
easy.
It was four and four.
Just like so, Moses Malone said.
It's exactly right. four. But this is now six game increments.
I think coaching wise, they break it down that way this season because of the six games bye.
Because the bye.
Six games breath, finish strong. Maybe. I don't know. Coaches,
but it's not six
play mental
six.
Tricks. It's they do whatever they need to do.
6-6-5.
Yeah.
What?
Well, whatever they need to do.
All right.
To get through each day, each week. Every week is a season unto itself. We know that in the NFL. Right. I want to ask you this.
I didn't know there'd be math.
Before we get to the phone calls, we got a lot of calls to get to.
Yes,
a lot of people interested. But I want to ask you this as we lead into that. Yesterday was an active day in the NFL, not just because the overcovered Jets made the trade that everyone expected them to make, and Davante Adams suddenly has no hamstring issue. He's now a New York Jet.
Can we clarify that overcovered has to do with too many people checking in on them? Nothing to do with any gambling.
Okay. Not any gambling. Overcovered, oversaturated, tired and old.
Fair enough.
That's the Jets, J-E-T-S. So besides Davante Adams,
I know
obviously – Amari Cooper goes to the Bills from the Browns. The Browns may be in the midst of a fire sale. Who knows? And then Cam Akers was traded to the Minnesota Vikings. He rejoins that offense, which makes them more dangerous and multiple. But, Molly, there are three trades by teams that still believe they are in contention, the Bills, the Jets, and the Vikings, and three teams that still have playoff aspirations. We're 3 weeks away from the trade deadline. Do you think that, A, signals that there's going to be more activity earlier than ever, and B, how does that affect the Bears?
Well, I think that it does affect the Bears. It does impact every team in the league because you've got to see who's getting better in your division and how they're going to get better, et cetera. Here's what I find fascinating. You just said it. Cleveland could be headed to a fire sale. So they got a couple of offensive linemen that might be worth picking up or making a phone call about if you want to improve your offensive line. They've got an incredibly good pass rusher. I don't know if they're going to trade him. It would appear when you look at what's happened to Cleveland, and they are sadly completely pot committed to a quarterback that doesn't look like he can play.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Watson, not only does he not look like he can play, he doesn't look like he really wants to.
Body language is screaming help.
Yes.
Or stop.
More settled lawsuits than touchdown passes.
Not a good stat to have.
Since joining his new team.
Not a good legacy to leave.
And they owe him a ridiculous amount of money. And so should they just pick up draft picks and
it's a fair
try
question.
To improve?
Myles Garrett would be the prize of the trade deadline.
Well, that would be unbelievable.
Unless it's Max Crosby. Unless it's whoever. But I think it's interesting. So if you are looking at it, that may be pie in the sky, Bears' ideal situation. But can we agree that more likely, if the Bears are active, they will be looking for interior offensive linemen or maybe offensive linemen in general?
I think
if they're going to add anything in a trade market?
Look, I don't know what their thought process is. I think Eric Washington has done a really good job with that defensive line. But I think we saw a huge impact when they made that Montez Sweat trade. I wonder if you would have as equally big an impact if you could add and I know that Myles Garrett is better than Montez Sweat. You could argue that Hassan Reddick is. But I don't think they're looking to make that level of deal.
Yeah.
But if they did, then maybe they'd have that kind of an impact. I mean, I don't know how much better they can get. I also think we're missing information in terms of the health of some of the secondary players. Is Kyler Gordon possibly missing a game or not a game, or is he out 6 weeks? Is the concussion protocol that you find yourself in with the safety, Jaquan Brisker, is that so bad an injury that it damages his future? I don't know the answer.
They seem
not.
Well equipped for depth in those positions,
they
though.
They do.
I do wonder about their depth in terms of quality, not quantity, on the offensive line.
Well, they have already tapped into it with Matt Pryor, and Bill Murray has played. You know, where are we at with Tevin Jenkins? Where do you view him moving forward?
Do you trust him to finish the second half of the season strong?
Is Ryan Bates coming back? They have yet to activate him. Is Ryan Bates? They went out and they made a trade, mm-hmm. and they gave up something to get Ryan Bates, who they tried to sign as a free agent. They clearly like him. I'm not sure where they like him. I'm not sure if there's time for him to come back and be a center. I don't know if that's what their thinking is. I also, like, Larry Borum is making a hair more money than you thought he might.
$3 million is quite a bit of money to make for a swing tackle.
It's not $10 million for a guy that's not even on the active roster.
But for a guy
that
should be basically at the veterans minimum, yes. I would think, given his draft status and his contributions over the past couple seasons,
yeah.
It's a surprise that he's making $3 million though this year.
Yeah, I'm not arguing any of that. But you know what I find fascinating is you ask the question about the trades and you point out that there are teams that maybe are a little bit better than you thought, or a team that's maybe a little more desperate than you thought with the Jets, or a team that maybe never got the bump they were expecting after trading Stephon Diggs, so they make a move for a receiver. I wonder how bad some of these teams are. In other words, we know that Cleveland is not going to be doing anything and they're stuck with the quarterback and there's nothing they can do about it.
What's so good about Cleveland?
There's nothing good about their football team right now. But I'm wondering, does the seeming dearth of bad teams indicate there might be a greater willingness to trade than there are teams looking to
add? I think for the reason... The answer to me is yes, but not for the reason most people are used to hearing. I don't think it's because they want to worry about their draft status or position themselves for anybody coming out in next April's NFL draft. I think it's more related to opportunity to shed salary and to try to shore up your salary
yes.
cap situation
yes.
and health, because that's what this new trade deadline, they move it back with the idea of maybe it's going to be more active. And we're already seeing maybe results of that. And teams are looking at it like the Browns. Boy, we can get a little healthier because we have this albatross of a contract. Let's clean up our salary cap by unloading assets.
All right. We got a lot of people who want to check in. Let's get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. We'll start with Mike. Mike's in Jerusalem, listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Mike. How
Good morning,
are you?
Mike.
Hi, happy Sukkot. How are you doing?
Good. Good, buddy. How's life?
Okay, life and living the dream. Listen, Kurt Warner's saying positive things about my quarterback. Never heard that before. Anyway, I wanted to discuss David Montgomery was my favorite player. Now, I know that DeAndre Swift can be more explosive. But I think that David Montgomery is more consistent. I would love to see David Montgomery run behind Doug Kramer. That would be something amazing. Third and two, I would definitely rather have David Montgomery. And I really don't understand what the Bears gained by letting David go and then signing Swift. And I think it was about the same amount of money. I don't know the money accounts over here. So if you guys could explain to me what they thought they were gaining by letting David go, I'd appreciate it. He was my favorite player.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. Well, that's kind of easy to explain. Yeah. David Montgomery was given the same deal offer by Ryan Poles that he was given by the Detroit Lions.
It was 2 years ago.
Yeah. It wasn't last offseason,
no.
So it's not apples to apples
right.
necessarily. David Montgomery chose the Lions over the Bears because he saw a new start elsewhere, did not feel as comfortable about the direction here, and saw something in the Lions and Dan Campbell that obviously now looks like a prescient decision. That was the right move for David Montgomery, who runs angry. He looks like a guy who's coming into his own and fulfilling all the potential you thought he had in Chicago?
You know, David Montgomery, like a lot of players, was not many teams are really giving big money to running backs, and so the Bears did not want to overbid for their own players. So they told him, why don't you go check out the market, see what you get offered, and then we'll have a conversation. So Montgomery goes, the Lions want him. They sign him, and then they draft Jahmyr Gibbs. And you're like wondering about how that's going to work out.
Yeah.
But the Bears, after they signed Montgomery, the Bears offered the exact same deal. But the kid, this is how life is. You know, another team wanted him and was going to pay him. You were going to match their offer. Hey, I'm going there. I mean, they
right.
want me.
Right.
And you just want to match an offer? Thanks anyway. And it's a better situation for him. And so he walked. And the Bears, you know, I'm not blaming anyone. But let's be honest about there's a certain arrogance to thinking that we helped invent football and we were the first. This is other administrations. But there is an element of that.
They overestimated their own value
exactly.
and what prestige would mean to
yes.
David Montgomery, or a player that was actually here during some difficult times.
And he was a third-round pick, but he was their first pick that year. So figure they gave him the first-round pick treatment, he would like being there. And he just took every chance he could to get the heck
out of here. In retrospect, it was a miscalculation by Ryan Poles
yes.
because he's a terrific runner, one of the top running backs in the
player.
NFL,
and
he'll get you the tough
paid
yard.
Him more money. He just got
paper. He played his way into a contract extension in Detroit. He's going to be a problem for the Bears moving forward. And you're happy for him because character-wise, he's the kind of guy that would fit in perfectly in this Bears locker room, and that's what made him so appealing and such a good Bear when he was here. So easy guy to root for, even in a Lion uniform.
Let's try David. David is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, David.
Hey, how are you? I'm just curious. I haven't seen Khalil Herbert.
Yeah, he's there.
I have not.
Neither have we. If you see him, let us know. He recovered the onside kick.
Yeah, he is there, and he's on special teams. And, you know, there was a point where DeAndre Swift started slow, and they didn't seem to unlock him and what he's good at. They've settled on a Roshon Johnson as their short yardage back in their heavy package.
The downhill guy.
With the mini fridge.
Yeah.
With Doug Kramer.
Right.
And so you knew Herbert was kind of in trouble toward the end of camp, but then Roshon got hurt, and then he came back, and now Herbert is kind of third on the depth chart.
Khalil Herbert is one of those guys you wonder. Yep. Fans will ask, well, what about trading him for something? Teams typically aren't going out and trading for running backs
yes.
unless they're really familiar with them with a specific skill set, like Cam Akers in Minnesota. I don't see Khalil Herbert being moved necessarily. I don't know what his role is here except for to provide depth in the case of an injury.
Kevin is on the road. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I've been listening to you guys for a long, long time. Haven't talked NFL football since Grobber, but I had to bring this point up. Listen to Jerry Jones explode this morning on another radio show. I started thinking to myself, you know, he's seen his team blow up before, but why is this time different? Well, what caught my mind was when he probably saw the trade for Carson, he realized that 2 years ago he gave Carson away for a number five, and Cleveland gave him away for a number three to the Jets, and that probably tipped him over the top. Just thought I'd put that out there.
Yeah, honestly, Kevin, I think he spent a ton of money in the offseason. I think he gave a lot of big contracts out.
You mean Cooper? Was he talking about Mark? What trade is he talking about?
Oh, he's probably talking about Amari Cooper.
Yeah, not Carson. Yeah, okay.
That's what he meant, Cooper. But, yeah, I'm just saying, I think it's as much – here's what's happened is they went out and they spent money and they, you know, they waited on these decisions and then they gave Dak Prescott everything.
Yeah.
And then what's happened? They're not doing well. They're losing and it's falling apart on them. And they're all in, man. They gave CeeDee Lamb a small fortune. More money to
a lot
Dak
of angst.
Prescott. Yes.
A lot of angst. And Kevin, you could have heard Jerry Jones go off yesterday on our radio station.
Yes.
Had you been listening around the 9
yes.
o'clock hour. We turned that around very quickly.
We did.
Very simple in Dallas. They had high expectations. Jerry Jones, things aren't happening, whether Amari Cooper gets traded or not.
Right.
that's a team that is disappointing, and they just suffered the worst home loss since he took over in 1989. That's why he's in the mood he's in.
You know what's super weird is that division seems like it's on its ear anyway.
It does.
Doesn't it? The Giants stink, okay? They've done nothing. You know, the Commanders are winning because they got the quarterback.
They got the quarterback, and the coach is doing a good job. Give Dan Quinn credit.
Yeah, Dan Quinn's
the
doing
Eagles
good.
Are led by a child.
The Eagles coach had that meltdown. What was that?
What is that?
I don't know what that was.
And then he apologized, kind of, sort of, maybe. Clown show in Philly.
And then did you hear what he said about bringing his kids to the podium? Just how much love he has for his kids. I mean, give me a break.
Father of the year.
Don't we all?
Not coach of the year,
I don't know. Jim is on the road. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. God bless Dustin for opening up the speculation Wednesday. You know, two things can be true. It's very fair to speculate about Williams and how good he's going to be. He looks really good after six games. But there are those of us that just want to wait and see. You know, I think if Brock Purdy's wearing a Bear jersey in 22 and Justin Fields is wearing a Niners jersey, I think Justin Fields has an NFC championship. And I just, as a fan, I want to see him beat a team that is capable of winning a playoff game. That's all.
You want to see who beat a team?
Caleb Williams.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're still not a believer?
Yeah, I mean, that
what are you waiting
come.
For?
He's waiting for the schedule to
okay.
turn. That's all you're saying, right? You just want – I think
Dustin.
I think everyone feels that way. Dustin mentioned earlier that if they had not made the quarterback change, he believes the Bears would still be 4-2.
I don't disagree with that, but let's talk floors and ceilings, okay?
Yeah.
The floor with Justin Fields might be exactly where it is now, and they may be 4-2.
And the ceiling is the roof.
Well, the ceiling's much higher now. I don't know that anybody watching – I shouldn't say that. I don't see the same thing a lot of people see if they're talking about why Justin Fields was, you know, treated unfairly or whatever.
You know what would be unfair? If he loses his job with a what is their record? They're also 4-2, I believe, right? If he loses his job to
Russell Wilson?
Russell.
Well, I'm not going to argue the fairness or unfairness
saying,
of it. But Molly, it's the same argument, really. It's the same floors and ceilings argument in Pittsburgh that it was in Chicago. Justin Fields is a serviceable, solid NFL starting quarterback.
Listen to Mike Tomlin.
No, Justin has been really good. And we've been really good at times, but not to be confused with great. Man, this is a competitive league, man. We're trying to position ourselves to be that team. And we got a player with talent who hadn't had an opportunity to play, so we're going to potentially explore those things. Sometimes it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with what Justin has done or has not done. Justin has been an asset to us, man.
Thank you.
That's Mike Tomlin.
And Mike Tomlin can say that, and people will nod their heads because he has credibility. If it were a lesser coach, obviously, people would question it more. Mike Tomlin knows.
Mike Tomlin knows what? That Justin Fields can't throw. That he's not a passing quarterback. He said yesterday, amongst the many things he said, that his legs are an unbelievable weapon.
He knows about the limitations when you have Justin Fields at quarterback.
And that is what you heard. I believe it was Flusie at the end of the year who talked about the fourth quarter. And, you know, this year you heard polls talking about the special.
Yes.
That's what all of these NFL guys are
saying. That's what they mean. And that's why this move yesterday, or if it comes on Sunday, was inevitable.
It may well be inevitable, but I am trying to postpone it.
You're worried about the draft pick.
That's all I care about.
If it wasn't the draft exchange and compensation, you would be on my side 100%.
You know, I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not like it.
David, I love Mike
that's
Tomlin.
Right to you. I mean, he's speaking to you.
Don't talk hot dogs to me.
A man who doesn't like hot dogs.
Don't talk hot dogs to me.
Wow.
Jeez.
Mike Tomlin is right in your wheelhouse.
I love Mike Tomlin.
Oh, who doesn't?
I know.
Great coach. But, you know, you got a winning program. They are doing something no one thought they would do. And they've had to go through a tough stretch, but they've managed to win. And I think it's mindless to turn to Russ until
perhaps
the Bears have that fourth round pick.
I see you're worried about the draft pick.
That's all I care about.
I respect Justin Fields and his ability. I just understand that there are limitations, and I think that a lot of people who have watched NFL quarterbacks for a very long time tend to agree.
All right, we're going to bring in Dan Wiederer. We'll ask him if he – no, I'm no. sure he will. But we'll talk to Dan about the Bears, about the bye week, about his trip to London. How much fun did he have? Did he go to that England-Greece game? Did he notice they signed a new manager today? We'll talk a lot of football, both international – no, we won't.
No,
we'll just talk about the Bears and the NFL. We'll talk to Dan next. Mully and Hall on the score.
Hola, Sammy Sosa here, and I love Armajado so much.
Dan Wiederer.
You've got a guy with credentials, you got a guy with some qualifications, and now there's just when done at its best, provides a level of steadiness and stability that helps create and stimulate success.
On-air contributor for 670 The Score.
Listen, we're not going to accept the status quo. We are going to push for more. We are going to strive for more.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Dan Wiederer with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Bear down. Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to Dan Wiederer. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Dan, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
How's the body clock? How was you recovered?
Not quite. So I was up this morning at 4:15, so it puts me on your schedule. But my schedule, I'm still a little bit backed up, so I got to get that figured out here in the next couple of days.
Overall, how did you handle the trip yourself? How did you enjoy it? And what was your biggest takeaway from the victory for the Bears?
Yeah, I told you guys that trip that way, going from here to there, wrecked me. And I was pretty messed up on Friday trying to make that adjustment with 2 hours of plane sleep and going right from the airport to the hotel shuttle, to the Bears practice facility. So that was a pretty busy, crazy day. But to get out there in that environment, to see kind of that countryside landscape that they had to practice in, it was pretty surreal, pretty cool stuff that they had there. And my biggest takeaway is you've got a team now, David, here that seems fully capable of taking inferior opponents and telling them that they're inferior. To be able to handle these last two games the way that they have, haven't trailed for a second after halftime, in the three-game winning streak, it tells you got a group now that can play complementary football and make plays in all three phases to win your football games. And so it should make the last half of the schedule, last 11 games rather, pretty exciting and pretty relevant for the Bears.
I'm curious, Dan, when you look back on that trip, is there anything that will stand out or that you will remember? It was interesting to talk to DJ Moore because just from a playing standpoint, he said they felt that Jacksonville didn't have enough time and that they were going to go after them and be aggressive with them because they felt that they were going to be a little bit jet-lagged in the game.
Yeah, and you know, in comparing it to the experience of 2019 when the Bears went later in the week and themselves came out very flat in that first half against the Raiders, it felt like the exact opposite, where the Bears were the team that was rested and ready to go, and the Jaguars were a little bit flat. And now, obviously, the Bears offensively didn't get off to a great start in that first quarter. But once they woke up in the second quarter and put together that 216-yard quarter that put them in firm control of the game, you're like, wow, they're ready to roll here. And so I do think there's something to that. I mean, I know personally – it's just anecdotal, but for myself that, you know, getting adjusted over there takes a while. And I don't know that those teams that go late in the week have a great advantage in doing that. And so I think DJ is probably right that there was an advantage for the Bears, both physically and mentally, going into that game and feeling sharper than their opponents.
What changed after the first two three and outs in your mind? Why did the offense suddenly get to the point where it started out slow and kind of clunky, and then all of a sudden – the Bears score 35 again.
Yeah. You know, they haven't started well at all. You know, six straight games where the opponent has scored first. The Bears have been pretty lethargic in the first quarter most of the year. It's something they've got to get figured out. But once it clicked in, it was really clicking, David. And when you see Caleb get comfortable, you then see him get confident. And when you get into that flow within a game where you're getting the line, where you're understanding what you're seeing, where you know where your answers are, it's pretty impressive. And you know, we were joking that this is the first time in the Super Bowl era that they've scored 5 touchdowns offensively in back-to-back games. Like, that's mind-blowing. And when you hear, you know, Keenan Allen relay the anecdote after the game on Sunday that Montez Sweat was getting frustrated that the Bears offense was staying on the field too much and preventing him from having the opportunity to go out and do his thing and go after Trevor Lawrence. It's really ironic for those of us who have lived a different kind of frustration from the Bears defense for decades. Now the Bears defense is getting mad at the offense because they're sustaining too many drives. And the defense is bored on the sideline.
Well, you know, it was interesting because they did not defer. They took the ball, and it's the first time I can remember them doing that this year, and it seemed as if they really did want to get out on offense and make some things happen. Then they commit a penalty before the first kickoff, and they go 3 and out in 2 series, and as they do every week, they end up trailing early. They go down a field goal, and you're just sitting there watching this like, what the hell happened to this great first 15 and everything? And then lo and behold, they get a little rhythm going. They kind of get the kid out of the huddle, and boom, they're moving like all get out, and they're scoring tons of points.
Yeah, well, and you talk about that start, the fastball that Caleb Williams threw into the face mask of Matt Pryor was one of those moments where, with the rest of the country having no other games to watch, it was all over social media. It's like, oh, the Bears quarterback is at it again. You know, it's a new name and a new guy, but they're still chucking balls into the helmets of their offensive linemen. And then for the rest of the day, Caleb sort of found that groove. And it's really impressive. And look, like, the Bears don't have to apologize for the schedule they were given. There's no question that the last 4 games have been, like, the ideal confidence springboard for an evolving offense with a rookie quarterback. And we knew going into Sunday that Jaguars pass defense was pretty poor. But still, you've got to make the plays. And when you, in particular, see the 2 touchdown throws that Caleb made to Keenan, you know, I was joking with Mark Grody on the podcast yesterday that like in years past, both of those plays, we would have had a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday discussion on whether anybody was open. You know, it would have been like, oh, the quarterback didn't throw it, or he got sacked, or he ran for 3 yards because no one was open on the play. And Caleb said, well, there's a big-time receiver over there, and he's NFL open, and I'm going to make a high-level throw, one to the back shoulder in the back of the end zone, the other the fade that, that Keenan just had to put his hands up and catch. And you say, that's what a standout quarterback does. That's what a high-level quarterback does in moments when you're down there to score. You make big-time plays. And those 2 plays, to me, were really impressive. The other 2, obviously, were good play designs that left Cole Kmet wide open. And so now you've got this whole library of success that you've had over the last month that then gives you obvious confidence that you can continue to replicate that as you go forward.
This segment with Dan Weider brought to you by TimberTech Decking and Railing. Everything wood should be. Visit TimberTech.com. You mentioned your guy Kmet. He had a big day with 2 touchdowns. He also served as the emergency long snapper. The Bears addressed that need yesterday by signing Jake McQuaid to the practice squad. Dan, Scott Daly still out with a knee injury. You have Patrick Scales coming back from back surgery. What are the Bears' options, and what does it look like at the long snapper position? Because it's not one you can take for granted.
Yeah, no, I mean, if I was putting a bet on it, I would bet that Jake McQuaid would be handling your snaps in Washington against the Commanders, and then you have to just kind of feel out how Scott Daly's recovering. It seems to me from everything we've heard that Patrick Scales is still a few weeks away from even being cleared to practice, so I don't see that on the immediate horizon. And so now you've got to make the best of things. Obviously, Cole did his best on Sunday, and obviously the Bears benefited from not having to punt after Scott Daly left the game, and so Cole only had to handle the 5 PAT snaps and 1 field goal snap, and he did his best. Like I say, it wasn't perfect, but it was good enough to get them through that game. But that's not where you want to lean. And so it looks like Jake McQuaid will be the emergency option. They signed him to the practice squad. They'll have the opportunity to elevate him in game week. And I would bet that would be the direction that they go in the short term. A little bit surprised that Scott Daly's injury isn't worse, just given how quickly they ruled him out after taking him to the sideline on Sunday in London. And so that's encouraging news. And then when he gets back, if he gets back, then you've got an option to make some decisions.
It was disappointing to me that Kyler Gordon was having an MRI, the only time Flusie's meeting with the media this week. I know we'll learn more, presumably Monday, but they don't need an injury report until next Wednesday. I mean, I get it. I understand what the timetable is. I'm just curious if you have any knowledge about anything to do with Jaquan Brisker or anything to do with with Gordon or with what was it, a calf injury that
put Stevenson
in a walking boot. Yeah.
Yeah, no question about it. And so at 4:15 this morning, I actually booted up the laptop and was writing my Bears of the Bye defensive review that you can read later this week in the Chicago Tribune. And the big second half question is, how healthy can the defense stay,
right,
you know, down the stretch of this season? And so here you've got now Jaquan Brisker, who we talked about, has missed games in three consecutive seasons due to a concussion. Got to keep an eye on that. Kyler Gordon missed almost a month of training camp earlier this year with an undisclosed injury that the Bears only referred to as tightness. Is it the same hamstring? Not sure. Got to dig into that and see if there's something more to that. Worth keeping an eye on. As you mentioned, Tyreek Stevenson leaves the locker room Sunday in a walking boot with a calf injury suffered in practice out there in London. Got to keep an eye on that. Now, to their credit, the backups came in and played really well. That's Hicks, that's Blackwell, that's Jalen Jones. They all handled their business as the next man up. But obviously for a team that's trying to make the playoffs, trying to do so in a really tough division, you got a pretty thin margin for error, and you're going to need your health to be one of those X factors for the remainder of the season. And so good for them that they've got the depth in the secondary to withstand that a little bit. But obviously you want those top line guys back as soon as possible. And there's certainly some concern with all three of those guys.
Again, there have been four NFL trades in the last couple of days, beginning with Roy Robertson Harris going from the Jags to the Seahawks and yesterday's flurry of activity. Has that changed the way you expect the next 3 weeks to go before the deadline for the Bears? Do you think that they will be more active than you anticipated? Are teams going to be making more deals than we expected?
Well, you know, in the last 4 or 5 years, it's really heated up more than it ever had been before. And so you've got this kind of landscape now where, particularly with the expanded playoff push, that teams feel like they're alive longer than they used to. And you feel like you got a chance to go after some things, and some other teams are going through fire sales and doing their thing like the Bears did a few years ago when they offloaded Quinn and Roquan in back-to-back weeks. And so, look, like, I think Ryan Poles is always exploring. He's always trying to figure out what his needs are, what's available there. I think, David, as you and I have talked about for a long time, he also has great discipline in understanding how to navigate that path without getting too overeager. And so it'll be really interesting to see if they find anything that intrigues them enough to make a move, or if they feel really good about where they're headed with what they've got right now. But certainly you've got a team right now that has positioned itself to be very relevant down the last 11 weeks of the season. It should be fun for all of us, and then we'll just kind of see what the front office decides to do to bolster that.
If they can make a move, what would they do? I mean, if you could gift them a move, would it be on the offensive line, on the defensive line? Wouldn't another pass rusher, Hassan Reddick? It's a joke.
Max Crosby.
Max Crosby.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. Miles Garrett.
Find the money
get
for those guys.
Create
your team, right? Like, let's find the Madden creative team. Maybe we can get, you know, Lawrence Taylor from 1986 in, and he can come in and
that's what the Jets are doing.
That pass rush.
Yeah, they're getting guys from 1986.
But no, like, I think the offensive line, you know, if you could find somebody that wanted to give you a center that is a higher powered guy, that would be something to look at. Obviously you're pretty set in the receiving core. You feel pretty good about your backfield. They've got a lot of positions to feel really good about right now. And so look, like, they're hitting their stride a little bit. Now they've had the benefit of good health for the first six games of the season for the most part. And they've had a really nice friendly schedule, as we've well documented. But they've handled their business through it, and now again, it's going to be really fun to see them go into that big stage game in Week 8 in Washington with the hype of Jaden versus Caleb being the thing that the whole country is going to be talking about probably for 2 weeks.
Thanks,
great
Dan.
Great stuff, Dan. Thank you, buddy.
Welcome back.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk soon.
Stay on that schedule. It's good for you.
Yeah. Welcome back to Dan Weider. Mark Grody is joining Dan Weider from now on the Take the North podcast. He's replacing me on the Take the North podcast. Doing a great job.
There bad blood there?
No bad blood. No, I'm just taking a lot going on. So with the Chicago Sports Network, it's great that Grody can do this. He's a trusted source and great font of information and humor.
All right, we'll be right back. Molly and Haw on the Score.
There it is. I don't care if the sun don't shine. I do my drinking in the evening time when I...
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That's Tom Brady around Vegas.
Yeah, okay.
Snapping his fingers.
Well, he should be. He should be very happy this morning because he's having his cake and eating it too.
Yeah.
Tom Brady approved on Tuesday by the NFL owners at the NFL owners meeting to be a minority owner.
5%.
In the Las Vegas Raiders. Mark Davis celebrating, said that was a funny line. Devontae Adams was traded and they got Tom Brady in a third round draft pick. Not a bad day if you're the Raiders. Here's what I have a problem with. And not to rain in anybody's parade.
But let's just clarify, Tom got 5%. Some guy, Mark Wagner, I don't know Mark. He's a financial guy. He got 5%.
Yeah.
And then Richard Seymour got half a percentage point of the Raiders.
Great.
He sold 10.05 of the team.
That's awesome.
Go ahead.
Sorry. That's awesome. Tom Brady as a broadcaster is where I have a bigger problem. He can do whatever he wants with his money. He can invest it however he chooses. He wants to invest in the Raiders. Good for him. Now we can't come back and play. That's fine. These are the restrictions on Tom Brady broadcaster.
Yes.
According to the bylaws of the NFL and the ownership limitations, correct? So correct me if I'm wrong if these are as has been reported. Tom Brady is not permitted to be in another team's facility. Tom Brady, Fox analyst, not permitted to witness practices, not permitted to attend broadcast production meetings either in person or virtually, prohibited from publicly criticizing game officials and other teams, subject to the NFL's gambling policy, and subject to the NFL's anti-tampering policy.
Do they realize he's in Vegas?
Tom Brady, Fox analyst, can't analyze. Not to the best of his ability.
The
job's compromised. What's he doing in the booth?
This has been going on for like 18 months. So when this first was proposed that Tom buy a little piece of the Raiders, the NFL owners were like, well, wait a minute. We got to look into this. And they stalled this approval, not because of the broadcasting, but because they were uncertain as to whether or not this was a move to coax him out of retirement. And the deal he's gotten for this team might have been too good a deal. Like Mark Davis gave him a pretty decent price, and you know the league doesn't want anybody paying less than full boat because they want their profits to be high. And they sell.
That's fair.
So that's why they waited as long as they did. I don't think the broadcaster thing.
You don't think the broadcaster thing what?
I don't know that it's going to matter. In other words, they could approve him as able to do all the things a broadcaster normally does if they so choose to. They can make their own rules. They're the NFL. And the thinking is that this will not impact his broadcasting stuff. This is...
So there's a belief, because as of now, that's not happened.
As of now,
the way it's been reported or the way that we understand it.
Yes.
So he can't do his job.
Well, but the thinking is that they're going to bend it because Tom was such a good Super Bowl champion.
Okay.
And they're going to bend it like he bent the rules. Dave.
Well, if they do that, then I think it's a different scenario. I don't know that I've seen that happen yet. If it has, let me know. But I don't know that he can do his job to the fullest ability.
Is he still doing his job? I mean, you know what I mean?
Like, he's gotten better in the booth.
Yeah, but he can get somebody.
He's gotten better.
You know who he sounds like?
He gets what to go to the production meetings for him?
No. He can call anybody in the league and talk to him. He's Tom Brady. I mean, he can make a phone call if he wants to talk to someone before a game. It spares him the indignity of having to be in like a formal environment as a broadcaster.
I think that underestimates and undervalues what comes from those formal agreements or those formal settings, because you can get a lot out of those settings. And I think the best analysts in the game take advantage of those situations that now he is as of now, not privy to.
312-644-6767. Do you think Tom won't be as good a broadcaster? Do you think that this is something that he should have put off until he was done with his broadcasting career? Is it okay to be doing both these things? And I'll tell you who he sounds like to me when we come back from the break. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.